tolerance is only one direction for them. Tolerance is of what they're saying. There is not tolerance of a Christian or a Judeo-Christian perspective on this. The tolerance is that you must believe and accept our ideology, and that you must reject your moral foundation of sexuality, your moral foundation of marriage, and your concept of femininity and masculinity, and the importance of the traditional marriage between a man and a woman.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Unrestricted. I'm your host, Veronica Kirilenko. American children are awash in sexual content. From public schools to the fashion industry to entertainment, marketing, and social media, various institutions want children to be savvy about sex, arguing that it would help their development and promote well-being. But how exactly does exposure to sexual content impact children? Today, I'm speaking with Dr. Sheila Furie of the Virginia Medical Freedom Alliance. Dr. Furie is a child and adolescent psychiatrist and a learning disability specialist with over 30 years of experience based in Richmond, Virginia. Doctor, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. I'm glad to join you.
Thank you, Doctor. So, Doctor, you've been helping children and families for a long time. In your practice, what are some common psychological and developmental impacts you observe in children who have been exposed to sexual content at a young age?
They display with a wide range of symptoms. They can be anxiety, depression, self-injurious behavior, or early sexualized behavior, and sexualized behavior without understanding of boundaries. That means if they've been exposed to sexual things, they don't have a boundary that says it's inappropriate for me to be having sex with other individuals. And that includes their siblings and their friends. They have early exposure to pornography, and this leads to self-stimulation, which is very addictive. And children can become addictive to pornography at an early age, as early as 8 to 10. And this has lifelong implications for their brain. So these children are exposed to high levels of material that they are unable to psychologically handle. And the consequence of that is that their brains no longer are developing in a cognitive way that leads learning and a basis for higher learning or executive function, but keeps them in their, what we would call their limbic system, or a system that is simply based on fear or relief from fear or pleasure in pain. And this is not the executive level that we need children to be at. We need our children to learn, have a strong basis in education and concepts, and use those concepts in order to make executive decisions. And when they're pulled away into this sexual realm, it pulls them out of executive function and harms them. And that harm can take many, many years to reverse.
Wow. But on the one hand, we deal with unstructured sexual content that children access via the internet, social media, movies, music clips, advertisements, and all these other avenues, and which they sometimes, of course, receive from their peers. On the other hand, the government seems to try to step in and help children make sense of sexual topics with its comprehensive sexual education. And, you know, in 2011, the Department of Education came up with the National Sexuality Education Standards for K-12 schools. And the goal was that's applied to all public schools in America was to help youth delay the onset of sexual activity, reduce its frequency, reduce the number of sexual partners, and increase contraceptive use. All of that was needed to prevent unwanted pregnancies and sexually transmitted diseases. What's your opinion of this effort? And can you speak of any changes in adolescent behaviors or attitudes since implementation of these standards?
What we see in reality is younger and younger onset of sexual behavior. We see an increase in sexual promiscuity. We see an increase in early pregnancy and often resulting in abortion. And all of that, and then an epidemic of sexually transmitted disease. So the response of the medical community has been not to pull back and re-examine the sexual material that is presented to children, but to push harder and to younger and younger groups. And so the UN model, which is an amoral, there's no moral foundation, it's a truly secular foundation, strips sexuality of its moral foundation and its importance in a loving and a committed relationship. And this is not taught. What is taught is just sexual behavior, sexual acts, and what one does in order to satisfy themselves or in some cases satisfy another. But the primary premise is satisfaction of yourself. It is not in a committed, loving relationship. And this is the inherent danger of all of this, that it's stripped away from the family morality. It is stripped away from church morality. And it is destroying our families and destroying our youth who are to be protected. And yet we are giving them material as young as preschool, where they do not have the cognitive capacity to understand what is going on. They do not have the capacity to understand the permanent damage that some of this may cause and the disruption that it causes in their life. And if anyone is advocating for that, they need to look and sit with children who have been sexually abused. Those children suffer great harm, and it takes years and years for those children to recover. And now we have a government and agencies that are seeking to increase the amount of sexual content that children are exposed to. And this is going to make it more and more difficult for children everywhere. It is going to be particularly difficult in the courtroom, because we relied on the innocence of children and children not being exposed to sexual material. And now we have children being exposed to this material as young as preschool. And so the level of confusion that this creates for a child is overwhelming, and it can only result in further harm to children.
Yes, of course. And doctor, but besides content related to sexual physiology, let's say, and heterosexual relations, there is an issue with LGBTQ content, very major issue. And so most states do not prescribe much in the way of how LGBT issues should be handled, leaving a lot of discretion to the nation's some 13,000 school districts, and some of which, along with the notoriously woke American Library Association, have been pushing gay and transgender content in classrooms and libraries. And the argument is that it teaches children to be tolerant. Is it how you see it, Jordan?
Well, it's interesting that they use the word tolerance, because tolerance is only one direction for them. Tolerance is of what they're saying. There is not tolerance of a Christian or a Judeo-Christian perspective on this. The tolerance is that you must believe and accept our ideology, and that you must reject your moral foundation of sexuality, your moral foundation of marriage, and your concept of femininity and masculinity, and the importance of the traditional marriage between a man and a woman.
Yeah. And can you speak of any warning signs that parents or caregivers should pay attention to, that a child may be experiencing distress due to exposure to inappropriate content?
They can often isolate. They can engage in self-injurious behavior. They can engage in relationships online that you're not aware of, all right? And so they become more linked to the internet and a relationship on the internet that they believe is loving and kind when it is purely manipulative. And that so children need, parents need to be very keen about observing changes in their behavior. If they become more anxious, if they become more depressed, if they're engaging or seeking out adult relationships or other relationships that the parents are uncertain about, a parent must step in and understand that relationship and be the guardian for that child, because the parent is the loving entity here, not the external person on the internet or the school system.
Yeah, let's. Are there any specific strategies or interventions you recommend for helping children and adolescents cope with the negative psychological impacts of inappropriate sexual content?
Well, to give them a foundation and help them understand the importance of boundaries, that their role, particularly in middle school and high school and even into college, is to get an education. It is not to be engaging in sexual relationships. I am not naive enough to say that children or adolescents do not engage in sex. However, when you give them the option that their role, developmental role, is not to be engaging in sex, and you give them firm boundaries, they relish in that and they achieve more. And there's decades and decades of evidence that shows those who delay sexual activity achieve higher levels of education. And when they enter into a relationship, that relationship is more likely to be committed and remain committed throughout the rest of their life.
Doctor, at the heart of sexual education lays the idea that children have sexual rights that they should be empowered to exercise. And this idea is strongly promoted by international organizations such as the United Nations and its affiliated bodies such as UNESCO and the WHO. And this is perhaps, not surprisingly, an integral part of Agenda 2030. There are other notable promoters, and they include Rockefeller's Population Council and Planned Parenthood International, to name a few. What do you make of the involvement of these groups in the effort to sexualize children?
This is purely for money and power and control over our children. Right. And it should be fought by every parent in this country and around the world. It is dangerous. And their idea that this is helpful for children is a complete distortion of reality. This is what hurts children. And remember, our Constitution was based, and John Adams said it's best when he said, we must have a moral foundation to keep our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And to say that sexual behavior is a right and putting it up with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is a complete distortion of our Constitution and a complete corruption of what our children are going to be exposed to. And it is purely for power and control of children, because it will make them just a purely biologic function, right? You have a function, this is how it's achieved, rather than this is, sexuality is part of a committed relationship.
Yes, of course it is. And you know, last year, the United Nations published a report that said that children have both the capacity and the legal right to make sexual decisions, including those related to having intimate relations with adults. Do you see connections between this apparent normalization of pedophilia and the concerted efforts to corrupt children?
Yes, this is worldwide. We have seen children are being trafficked. Right. And this is a mechanism to decriminalize the abuse of children that is occurring worldwide. So if we can normalize this behavior and decriminalize it, it will allow children to be sexually trafficked around the world at alarming rates. The relationship between an adult and a child is never consensual. Never consensual. This is all power and manipulation, and it should be stopped. And the fact that the UN wants to support this is further evidence of why we should withdraw from the UN and withdraw from the WHO.
Yeah, this is a fantastic message. Do you see any reassuring signs that society and parents in particular are actually waking up to the real agenda behind the sexual education and promotion of LGBTQ issues in public schools?
I think parents are fighting back and parents are stepping forward. They particularly want to protect their girls. And I think the transgendered movement into women's sports has been highlighted there. There is no evidence, and it is harmful for girls not to have their space in their sports. And this was just a tipping point. I think the lockdown opened the eyes of many parents, and I hope that it will continue and that they will continue to advocate for their daughters and sons and their safety and protection of their daughters and sons.
Yeah, Doctor, maybe perhaps the very last and the most important question is, as a society, what steps can we take to promote healthy attitudes towards sexuality reserved exclusively for marriage, like you said, while also minimizing the negative effects of systematic exposure to sexual content on children that unfortunately seem nearly inescapable?
So we have to make every step to protect our children and limit and dramatically limit what they are exposed to. So if they're exposed to significant sexual content in schools, you need to opt out or take them out of the school that is providing that information. This is like giving rat poison a little every day. And so if you desensitize your children or allow your children to be desensitized by giving them a little sexual activity or a little sexual information every day, think about the implications of that over 365 days and 12 years of education. It is criminal. And so we have to be very strong as parents and step forward in saying we are no longer going to allow this sexual content and this sexual exposure to our children. We're going to take it into the home, and with a moral foundation, we are going to teach our children about sex and sexuality.
Well said, Doctor. Please tell us, what is the best way to follow you and your work and learn more about it?
So we are the Virginia Medical Freedom Alliance, and you can find us at vamfa.org on the internet. And we have a whole web page, and you can contact us through that page.
That was Dr. Sheila Furie, everyone. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Veronica Kirilenko of the New American Magazine.
YouTube had a few words when they canceled us. We had a few words for them. No more. Do more. Subscribe today and get 25% off your first year. TheNewAmerican.com.